You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City.
Well, hello.
We are excited as usual. We had an awesome weekend of racing, particularly with IndyCar. I mean, it was that was one of the best IndyCar races I've ever
this
seen.
This season has been outstanding for so many reasons.
I know. It's been fantastic. Well, this is John Massengill. That was Jonathan Green. Les Kaiser is off this weekend, and I don't know what he's out there having some fun out there on vacation somewhere. But yeah, I want to run down what we got on the show because we have a fantastic show. We have the winner of today's IndyCar race, Takuma Sato.
An old friend of the show. I'm delighted for him after the week he's had.
He's had a heck of a week and lots of
criticism. By his own doing, not doing, but you know.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. Yeah, hang on a minute. With a little criticism, including from myself after last week.
There you go.
Yeah, we got Takuma Sato coming on the show. And then we also have some great interviews. Jonathan, you did some Formula 3 this weekend.
Yep. We got a new American champion.
Yeah, 2019 champion Dakota Dickerson. If you've been listening to Speed City, that name sounds familiar. Because we followed him all for a couple of years now, at least. And so he won the championship, and you did an interview with him. We got him on the show. And also another F3 Americas driver.
Yeah, his teammate, in fact, Benjamin Pedersen. And he had a great weekend, but in the same sort of spirit of finding the next American champions. I mean, he's from Denmark, but I'll tell you what, he's come through the American system. His dad runs the team. He is an absolute product. He's sponsored by Dirtfish. You know, I mean, he is going places, and I mean, he's right on the Kevin Magnussen trail. He's just 20.
Well, and also, I did an interview with Spencer Pompelli. He hadn't been on the show in a while, but I watched...
Who he? Tell the audience who Spencer Pompelli... I don't know. Our audience doesn't need to know. They know exactly who he is.
Yeah, he's an IMSA racer, and he's been racing for a while.
He's a badass.
And he's a badass, absolutely. And he does a little instruction and stuff like that. But they had the IMSA race up at VIR.
Great circuit.
And I watched, you know, that's the Michelin series that is, you know, it's all sports cars, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's McLarens and Porsches and Mustangs and Camaros, which is what I love. And that was a great race. I watched the entire race this weekend. And VIR is a fantastic venue.
Circuit. Yeah. Did they use the whole? I mean, they would have done. Yeah.
They
the
did.
Whole circuit. Yeah. We did it when we went to F3 and F4. It was great.
And it was some great racing. They had some rain. They had, crashes.
That's a tough place in the rain.
Yeah.
It's got some pretty tricky corners.
Yeah. In fact, the rain kind of came out of the blue for me watching it. I knew they had rain the day before, but they hadn't mentioned rain at all. And all of a sudden, cars started flying off the track. And
yeah.
I was like, uh-oh, somebody dumped some oil. And then I realized, wait a minute, and rain came in.
Well, it can also rain at one part of the track. It's one of those really long, elongated tracks. And so you can have rain at the far end of the circuit and not know about it on the front straight.
Yeah, it reminds me of that epic rain we had at COTA that year with the World Endurance Championship.
Man.
When we lost like
our $2 million parking lot.
We lost like 10 cars at the end of turn 11 down there. And it was bright sunshine back at the broadcast booth.
That's right.
But that was fantastic racing. So we got Spencer Pompelli coming on, but... And in fact, I think I want to start with that interview. Let's go ahead and play that because we talk all about what happened up at VR. So let's hear from Spencer Pompelli.
All right. We're really excited to have our next guest on the show because I got to watch this race, this IMSA race up at VIR yesterday, the entire thing. And it was a fantastic race and loving all the weather and the different cars on track. It was fantastic. But we have Spencer Pompelli on the show. Spencer, welcome back to Speed City. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. Thanks for having me.
Now, we appreciate it. Well, I really enjoyed watching the race yesterday, and you guys had a really interesting strategy going on. At the beginning of the race, there was that crash at the beginning of the race was completely out of the blue for us viewers. I'm sure you guys could see some of the rain on the horizon. But when we started seeing cars spin off the track, I thought, well, there must have been oil thrown down. But then we started to see the rain, and the rain came, and everybody was changing tires. But you guys at the More Speed team decided to stick with the slicks. And, you know, and it looked like it was going to pay off. But what we didn't get to see on the television coverage, what happened to you guys towards the, you know, I think you guys got as high as seventh in the race. But yeah, tell us about what happened there.
Well, first off, you know, the More Speed guys put together this car and this effort kind of as a one-off deal. So I got to take my hats off to all the prep. And we had a fantastic effort, great car, great team, good strategy. But the decision was made to leave Rob on slicks because we could see in the radar that there wasn't a lot of rain coming. And we figured if he could just kind of eke out a couple laps, you know, in tough conditions, wet track, slick tires, with all the cars out on the track, it would eventually start to dry off and he would be, you know, in good shape with the slicks on. And sure enough, you know, he lost a lot of time early on, but stayed on the track. And by the time he pitted, he had about 10 seconds a lap on the leaders. And so it was a gamble because we were starting in the back. We didn't get to qualify because of weather, and because it's a one-off, we didn't have any points, so we had to start last. And we weren't really able to pick through at the beginning like we thought we would, so it was worth the gamble, I think. And it ultimately, had it not gone yellow at the end, we would have been on great strategy for fuel stops and really could have came to us. But you know, it didn't work out that way, so we ended up having a slight mechanical issue that caused a vibration and then had a spin. You know, when it started raining again, and then ultimately got hit from behind, and that ended our day. But you know, we were there to learn. We were there to have a good time, and I think Rob got his taste of GT4 racing and just did a fantastic job. And it was good to be back on the series and good to be with More Speed.
Yeah, you know, I know you guys did start last, and I knew that was going to be, you know, if, considering where you finished, you guys got to be pretty happy overall. And yeah, when that rain came, man, you could see, I mean, when the rain came and then you guys had to restart when everybody else was on rain tires and you were on slicks, man, that car looked really tough to handle. So it's totally understandable, but you got to be happy, you know, overall, considering where you started and where you finished, right?
Absolutely. You know, again, it was a learning process for us because, you know, it was Rob's first time in that type of car, that type of racing. And you know, it was our first time working with those guys on the at More Speed. You know, Rob drives for them in the GT3 Cup Porsche series, but this is a different crew that was supporting their GTD car earlier in the year. So we just were there to learn, and you know, the result would have been nice. I think we could have finished better. I thought we had about a podium car, but given the challenges of where we had to start and just some of the strategy things that we gambled with, it didn't quite pay out the way we wanted. You know, we can't get upset at all. It was a good weekend.
Yeah, Rob for
Ferriol.
Ferriol, yeah. Yeah, well, tell you what, though, just overall watching the race, it was great racing to see. And at the end, you know, you know, watching IMSA, you see a McLaren versus a Ford Mustang. And that's just classic IMSA in my mind. When the Porsche came up and bumped the McLaren out, and then the Mustang takes the win. That's fantastic racing with the different classes, a different level of cars, with a balanced performance. You know, I didn't hear a whole lot of complaints, at least none of the interviews I saw on television or anything, about balanced performance. It seems like IMSA really got it right and was fantastic racing across the board.
Yeah, the balance of performance is necessary, and it's always very difficult. And they have it's not as straightforward as a lot of the spectators think. You know, a lot of things affect car performance, temperature, track conditions, and it affects performance differently. So they have to really try to go with a big set of data and make it as fair as they can. But the racing came down to, you know, on track action, and that's what you want. I got to give a shout out too to VIR, who they have the best facility probably in North America, and everyone that comes here loves racing here. I'd say VIR is the favorite track of at least three quarters of the drivers in the paddock. And that's because it's a great place to come and race, and it supports good racing. There's a lot of passing opportunities. There's a lot of different challenges on the track. And then the series has always been so competitive, and those cars beat and bang a little bit, not as much as maybe a stock car, but I mean, after all, some guys are McLarens out there. They want to bring them back in one piece, but Yeah, you can really watch good racing in this series right now.
Well, look, I know balance of performance is a tricky thing, but considering that you had a McLaren battling, a Porsche battling, a Mustang at the end, I think balance of performance is a fantastic thing because, you know, you put fans in the stands with different kinds of cars, and when you can put those cars competing against each other, it's awesome. And you talk about VIR, you know, from a viewing standpoint, it is gorgeous to look and see all that green. And I mean, it's really from a spectator standpoint on television, and I'm certain in the stands, it is a really cool looking track and looks like, it looks like great racing too. So it's not just picturesque, but great racing. But well, Spencer, I'd love to have you on the show some more, and I'm really glad you guys had a good day yesterday, and I appreciate your time coming on, and we'll try to get you on the show again.
Yeah, have me back. I'm not sure what the next race for that More Speed Audi is going to be, but hopefully it'll be soon, and I'd love to talk about it.
All right, Spencer. Well, thanks for coming on Speed City. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you guys. See ya.
Yeah, that...
More Speed, of course, our local
Austin-based
boys.
Company, More Speed.
And they used to be like Porsche specialists, but now they're moving into racing with Audis, and that's, I mean, you know, it's not that different, I guess, but, you know, it is an interesting transition for them.
Yeah, and they, of course, they also raced in the Porsche GT3 Cup this weekend. So, but yeah, he's a great guy. Spencer is.
Oh, yeah.
And he did a great job. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue and we're going to talk about the F3 America Series. And then don't forget, we got Takuma Sato from IndyCar coming on here later in the show. You're live from Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride. Or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Just like fire, burning up the way. I can light the world up for just one day. Catch this madness, colorful charade. No one can be just like me.
What's up? This is Bilko, freestyle motocross rider with the Nitro Circus, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're going to jump right in and talk.
Pink and Imagine Dragons, don't forget, come at Dakota.
What about 70 days? Because we're
60 days.
60 to 70 days, yeah. Because November 3rd, 2nd and 3rd for those concerts. So yeah.
And John Massengill will be there, of course.
Yes, I will be. And so will Jonathan Green.
Well, you know. Les Kaiser will also probably be there if he's not still on holiday.
If he's not still on vacation.
Isn't that right, Les? Oh, wait, he's not here.
All right, let's talk about the Formula 3 Americas Series.
Yes.
Because we got a couple of cool interviews.
Yeah, and I've been following this championship all season. I've been to every round. As you know, the history of it is F3 Americas really only came into being in the last 2 years. But it started off very small in terms of it started off at the like in August last year. So we only had 3 or 4 competitors. Now we've got a full field. And so this, I feel, is the first real championship that F3 have had. F4 is long established and has been around for a few years now.
Yeah, like third season at least, yeah.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is now we've genuinely got the ladder that they wanted because Dakota Dickerson, who won the championship, wrapped up the championship yesterday, great kid from California, he ticked all the boxes for, you know, a great marketing tool, a great racing driver, a good guy, and he was the F4 champion and won enough money to compete in the F3 championship. So that's the ladder. That's how it works. And now the world is his oyster because he can go to the Toyota Racing Series, he can go to F3 in Europe, or he can get onto the Road to Indy. Which is what Kyle Kirkwood, the man who won the F3 championship last year, is kicking butt in. And in fact, I think he won again this weekend at St. Louis. So the progression of these young kids is coming through. Anyway, I spoke to him literally as he got out of the car after winning the F3 championship at Road America yesterday. Okay, Speed City fans, we've been talking about this for years, but as you know, we've been looking for the next American youngster to come through. F4 champion Dakota Dickerson last year moves on to F3 and now wins the F3 championship. I'm looking at the future of American racing. Dakota, you just won the F3 championship this year today. Tell me how you're feeling and what does that mean to you?
Oh, it's a fantastic feeling. Obviously, having back-to-back championships with SCCA Pro Racing in F4 and in F3 here in the States is a fantastic feeling. I think it's going to springboard our career again, hopefully into something bigger and open wheel. So, yeah, it's hard to describe how relieving this weekend was, because we have Benjamin Peterson, who's doing F3 over in Europe, and now coming here in the States, he's been breathing down our neck and in front of us all year. So it's fantastic to be able to clinch the championship now.
Tell us about the last couple of years, because you really are a product of what America's been trying to do, which is to take youngsters, give them an opportunity in F4. You pay for that, but then if you win, you get a big bonus and get a chance to take that to F3.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge opportunity being able to run with F4, but it's also great on the developmental level too. So obviously where I was as a driver 2-3 years ago has been drastically improved to where we are now, and still have plenty of things to learn. But without F4 and F3 being able to mold me into the driver that I am now and providing me with the scholarship funding to be able to move up, I don't think I would be where I am now.
So what are you going to do now with those two championships under your belt? I mean, the world is your oyster. Do you want to stay in the States? Do you want to try and move on? Because you've scored a lot of FIA super license points now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like you said, we have a lot of options on the table, which is a great problem to have. The goal for me is IndyCar. Being here in the States and done all of my racing career here in the States, being at the pinnacle of open wheel racing here in the United States would be great. So whatever helps us prepare for that best is going to be what our option is. Obviously, working with the Global Racing Group guys has been fantastic this year, and we're talking about where they would like to go next year as well. So there's a lot on the table. A lot of great things can happen, but I think we'll have more information on that in the next couple months.
And so would Indy Lights be the obvious next move?
I think Indy Lights is a fantastic training ground. Obviously, they follow IndyCar. They have street courses, large and small ovals, road courses. So I think in terms of as a driver, it really prepares you for that ultimate next step. There's a lot of other series over in Europe that are also great, that have fantastic competition. Obviously, you see the level of progression Benjamin has had racing overseas in F3 and racing here in the States. So there's a lot of different options on the table. Indy Lights is obviously a huge one.
Let me ask you a question that I think you're in a good position to answer, because we've had Cameron Das and Kyle Kirkwood spring to mind. You're now the next one following. Do you believe, have what it takes to take on the rest of the world, whether it be in Indy or F1?
Absolutely. I think if you look at the training that we've had over the course of our F4 and F3 careers, whether it's here in the States or overseas, Kyle's obviously doing Indy Pro right now. I think we all have what it takes to be able to push and challenge the guys at the top, whether it's overseas or here in the States. I think it's obviously finding the opportunity to showcase yourself and also being a series that develops you as a driver, because the moment that you stop learning, I think, is the moment that the other guys keep on pushing forward.
Well, listen, it's been a joy to watch you. Keep in touch with Speed City on your way up. Don't forget us little folks, because we know you're going all the way, and we wish you best of luck next year. But congratulations, first and foremost, on winning the F3 championship.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much for having me, and I'll see you at COTA for F1.
You know it.
Yeah, he's ready to come here to COTA.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to him coming. And don't forget, get involved. Give us a call. I want to hear what people have got to say. We want some engagement. This is what it's all about. It's you, the fans out there. We want to hear from you.
That's right. Give us a call. 512-643-LIVE. 512-643-5483. We have a caller on the line. It's a friend of ours, though. And he's done a little racing himself.
Just a little.
Won the 24-hour Le Mans, just some other things like that. We got Price Cobb on the phone. Hey, Price, how's it going, man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Now that we're talking to you, we're doing even better.
What do you want?
We just had Spencer. I don't know if you know him, but we just had Spencer Pompelli on the show. He's come on. We just had Dakota Dickerson, who's just won the F3 championship. We're hoping to have Takuma Sato on in a few minutes' time. But just wanted to give you an update of where we are tonight on a beautiful sunny night in Austin.
Well, that's fantastic. Clearly, I watched most of the races. I missed anything F3 or F4, sometimes when you're stuck at home doing honeydews, you miss some of the fun, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Spencer was saying that VIR is probably one of the drivers' favorite. What in Racing in America, what were your favorite tracks?
Well, ironically, you guys, that VIR is my most favorite track in North America. So, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So it's interesting that he says feels that as well. But for myself, you know, I just think it's the constant challenge, the sheer beauty of it. Now, don't forget, guys, I got into racing, you know, as a kid when I saw the movie Grand Prix. You know, as a young kid, you're just blown away by the I guess, surreal silliness of what you saw in the movie. And I don't say that literally, but, you know, figuratively as a kid. And so, you know, VIR sort of still holds that for me. You know, the undulating course, one laid out not by somebody designing it. It just some guy decided to put some tarmac on his pig farm, and there you go. you know, follow that up with, you know, a lot of people really like Elkhart Lake. Well, that you know, personally, there's a lot of time to sleep at Elkhart Lake, so it's very fun, but I don't find it terribly challenging. That's personal. I say that personally. I
was at Elkhart Lake this weekend, yeah.
Yeah, I love Sonoma, Infineon, whatever they call it today.
Yeah.
You know, when I was there around a kid, it was Sears Point. You're right. Always working, sort of like VIR, you know. So, you know, and ultimately, I think the last one for me is Saint-Gervais in Canada. Right. Just spectacular.
Well, you know, what do you think about the new F3 Americas and F4 American Series that are giving these guys another ladder? You know, we had the road to Indy, but we've got the F3 Americas F4 now. And, I mean, some of these guys like Kyle Kirkwood.
Yeah.
I mean, the last year he's and Dickerson this year. And, yeah.
This is something that Price can talk of because the bottom line is when I talk to these guys, compared to, let's say, F3 in the UK or in Europe, these guys, I mean, the guy who we just had on won $200,000 for winning F4, which allowed him a budget to go to F3. And they don't get that incentive in the UK. They get obviously a lot of notoriety, but they don't get a financial, you know, they don't get people giving them a help up. And you've got to be, you know, you got to be pleased to see that we're actually nurturing our talent now.
Well, you know, honestly, Jonathan, for the first time in my life, that's what I'm seeing. You know, I've always lamented the fact that there always was sort of a, you know, oh bother sort of feeling in the United States about people racing, yet there's plenty of fans. So I never understood all that yet when I was a kid living in Europe. You know, everybody was rabid about it. So I'm really happy to see what I would consider a turnaround for that. I also, and you guys might correct me on this, but it also seems to me that at least in the U.S. today, it seems to be, again, on the surface, less expensive to race sort of F3 and F4 than what I've heard from Europe, except for the travel. But the other thing that I like in the United States for now is that the tracks are so varied, no one team has sort of a lock on all the racing. I can recall, Jonathan, although I never raced F3 or anything in Europe, but at Silverstone, for example, my friends that raced over there, I mean, they literally had setups, or they would change the sway bars, you know, two or three times a lap because they knew if it was sunny on one side of the track and not on the other side, it mattered. Well, no one has that lock on in the United States today, so I think it gives everybody a more level playing field.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, well, guys, let's go ahead and take another quick break because we're going to try to shift the segment breaks a little bit because we're going to try to get Takuma Sato on here in a few minutes. Let's take a break now, and we'll come back. We'll continue more with Price Cobb. You listen to Speed City. We're live in Austin. Back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town in your favorite store, or drop by the Tap Room at 2340 West Breaker Lane. Open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Michael Zweiback, driver of the number 2 discount tire Porsche. Welcome to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we've got Price Cobb on the phone. And Price, we're going to play an interview that Jonathan did. Set this one up, Jonathan, a little bit. And I want to get Price's take when we're done.
With Ben?
Yeah.
Yeah, the teammate actually to Dakota Dickerson, who we just had on, won at Road America where I was yesterday. He, of course, won the F4 race at COTA last year and has now advanced to F3. He's now racing both in the American Championship. He's got 4 wins. This was his 4th. In fact, he got penalized because he took Dakota out on the first race like yesterday.
And now they're teammates.
No, they're still teammates. But he won the 2nd race yesterday and actually is racing in the British Championship. So he's now flying back to finish off the British Championship. And it's interesting because I asked him a question when he took Dakota out. He said, you know, the rules are slightly different. This is something Price might be able to talk about too. The rules are slightly different. They're more aggressive. You get away with more aggressive racing. Whereas Scott Goodyear, who's the race director of F3 currently, is pretty strict on these kids. And I don't mind that because they got to learn their craft, you know. Anyway, I spoke to Benjamin Pedersen and asked him now, Dakota, what his thoughts were, having a great season and now with so much at his disposal, racing both in Europe and here in the States. So here's Benjamin Pedersen of Denmark.
Get the car dialed in as fast as possible. The goal, guys, we've only made improvements the whole weekend. We never took a step back. So yeah, that's just a big testament to this last race that we just had. You know, we put on a really dominating performance as a team. Dakota and I, we both, obviously we finished 1-2, but then to pull a gap to P3 by almost 15 seconds, I think it was, it just shows how dominating that victory was, and a true testament to how well we have this car set up at the moment.
And that was your 4th win of the season, and yet this isn't your main championship. Explain.
Yeah, you know, my main championship is British F3, so obviously living in Seattle, I do get a lot of air miles flying a lot. Mm. But with an opportunity to come back here for this championship in between events, you know, it's a great opportunity to come back, kind of showcase what I've learned in England, applying it here. I think it's been pretty obvious that it's showing that, you know, racing in the UK has been helping a lot. So yeah, it's just, you know, just even though, you know, you're winning races and stuff, you still try to see what you can do better. So, you know, there's still some small things in this race I think I could have done better. But just all in all, really happy with the overall result. This track's such a great track for these cars. So hopefully we'll come back in the future.
As you know, on Speed City, we're always looking for, especially the Americans that are coming through. Just the fact that you're Danish doesn't matter because you've come up through the American Championship. We noticed you at COTA last year in F4. Now you're doing it in F3. You're also racing in Britain. So what's the plan for Benjamin Pedersen?
That's a good question, you know. Obviously, my main championship's over in the UK this year. We'll see what next year is, if I stay in Europe or come back to America. So, you know, there's quite a bit of options still we're looking at. But, you know, it's crazy that this season, we only have one more event in British F3, and then same for this championship, Sebring. So, you know, after that, you know, in a couple weeks' time, then it's back to, you know, kind of quote-unquote winter testing. It's crazy to think about. I remember the first race this year. So, yeah, just whatever it is, we'll get testing as soon as possible. But I think the big question is if we stay in Europe or we come back to America.
Years ago, I used to talk to young men who were coming up like yourself, and they get to Formula 3, and then the options would just disappear because it was so hard to get to the next level. It just seems now that, look, you know, with FIA points for F3 and F4, I do the Toyota Racing Series. That's an option now, both winter and summer. You've got FIA Formula 3 and then some of the regional championships. So there just seems to be a lot more options. Do you feel that way?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, from a European standpoint, you have obviously British F3, which is a regional F3 championship. Then you have, you know, the biggest F3 championship that exists, FIA F3, as you just say, which is really the pinnacle of F3 globally. So that could be a potential option next year, you know, looking at the full spectrum. You know, coming back to America, there's quite a bit of options as well. Within this championship, even Monster Road to Indy, just thinking of a regional thing. You know, Pro Mazda would be kind of the next step, or even Indy Lights. You never know if an opportunity exists there. But for sure, you know, my aspirations is to be in the top level of formula cars. You know, the sports car things come up in the future. That's always great. But right now, my main focus is getting as far as possible in the formula cars.
How old are you now?
Just turned 20 this year, so, you know, there's still a long road ahead of me.
I'm going to say that, talking about, I mean, 20, that you really can go other directions. So if we did look ahead to 5 years from now, you've got those super license points potentially. You're over in Europe, which means that you're going down the kind of Formula One path. But would you care whether you went to Indy either?
I'd love to be an IndyCar, to be honest. You know, Formula One's the big dream, but it's obviously extremely hard these days to make that a reality. But I think, you know, kind of racing in Europe and then coming back here to America and taking everything you've learned from over there, you know, I think, you know, IndyCar is definitely a big goal for me. Kind of going back to my aspirations of top level and open wheel is what I'd love to do. So for sure, you know, I love racing in America. You know, I started my career here in America, so a lot of the tracks within the whole country I've driven at now over this time period. So a lot of the tracks being what IndyCar races on. So it's just, it's crazy to think about what the future holds, but hopefully, you know, IndyCar would be amazing.
Sounds to me like you might want to give Kevin Magnussen a call and see if he wants some extra help with a Dane. Give him some extra feedback for that Haas team.
I think it's obviously more so the other way, but yeah, we'll have to see how Haas is doing. You know, it's cool to have an American team in Formula One, obviously. And then Kevin, a fellow Dane, is cool. So yeah, we'll just have to see how everything plans out.
Well, congratulations again this weekend at Road America. Well done. Benjamin Pedersen, we'll be looking out for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and a good kid. I really like him. And he's going places. That's what we want to do on Speed City, and we've done it before. It's great having a badass like Price Cobb, but we are not only focusing on, you know, the current greats, but also the guys that are kind of make the names. And we've done it with Santino Ferrucci. We had him on when he was like a 15, 16-year-old. We've done it with Lance Stroll. We've done it with Lando Norris. You know, I wouldn't say, I'm not trying to puff our chests out here, but it's great to notice these kids before anybody else knows who they are.
Yeah, and it's a plan that we've done. I mean, Alexander Rossi,
the first example. Yeah,
first guest we ever had on the show was Connor Daly, and that was in 2012.
Yeah,
so, yeah, it's been a few years back. Well, Price, you know, this I love the way this is breaking down, this F3 F4 Series America. And you think this is a good plan with having these separate tracks other than Road to Indy and all these different areas?
Well, my only concern is always the same, that it doesn't get too diluted. But I do love the fact that folks like you guys at Speed City, each one of you, are looking out for the new young talent. You know, the dilution sometimes makes me a little crazy. It started for me when I was racing go-karts. You know, if some parent's child wasn't winning, they threw a hissy fit until there was another classmate just to suit that person. So for me, it's a double-edged sword, but don't get me wrong. I think it's people like y'all that make it work for these youngsters, and I can't say how proud I am to know that you guys are doing that.
Yeah. Well,
I tell you what, why don't you come and have a beer with you? We've got a function for you. We know you're going to be there because you've been there before. John, give us the details. Yeah. We're having another
car show.
Speed City Car Show this next Wednesday.
And it's called the Speed City Road Show. We're officially calling it now. You know, we've been doing this for almost a year now, and they're getting bigger and bigger, and we've moved to a new, bigger venue. We've moved over to Circle Brewery over on Breaker Lane.
And we will be there.
Yeah, all right.
I heard about that last week, so we will be there.
Are you going to bring a truck and show us, you know, a Tread Connection truck?
And we'll bring some trash and trinkets to give away.
Well, while we got you on, tell us what you're doing and what you're going to be exhibiting on Wednesday then.
Well, you know, as you guys know, I've more or less retired from motorsports after 50 years. It's time for the kids. Thank you, guys. You're bringing the youngsters on. I really applaud you. No, sincerely, I applaud that. But, you know, I couldn't just walk away from automobile, period. I enjoy interacting with folks that like cars like I do. So there's some guys in North Carolina that had started selling tires from a mobile tire shop, and we encouraged them to do it. So for 18 months, we used them all over the United States. You know, when you're testing, there's nobody there to change your tires, unlike a race weekend. So when I retired June 14th, they said, put your money where your mouth is. So I said, what the heck? Partly to help them, but partly to keep my hand in it. And I'm having a great time doing it.
That's awesome. So it's Tread Connection here in Austin. And, you know, think about it, guys. It's such a simple way. You basically the same price as taking, you know, you have to take your car to a tire shop, sit around and wait for an hour or longer sometimes. Well, why do that? We can have these guys come to your house and do it, or come to wherever you are for
or
an hour.
When you've got a meeting or you're going somewhere, he can come to you, and you don't need to be part of the whole deal, do you, really?
Yeah, it's
right,
awesome.
Bingo. You nailed it, Jonathan. You guys, literally, I've had a couple of people who I never met at all. I just showed up and, like magic, changed your tires, and nothing, everything was handled on the internet, so it was great. That's what people can do.
All right.
That's great.
All right, guys. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're hoping to have Takuma Sato, winner of the IndyCar race last night. Hoping to have him on the phone. We'll see you in this next break. You're listening to Speed City. Back after these messages.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company, born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in Dainese leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride. Or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
I'm a bad liar. Bad liar. Now you know. Now you know.
Hi, I'm JD Beach, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
I can't help but smile every time I hear JD Beach. He's so good.
I'm seeing him next week.
Are you really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to New Jersey for Moto America. I'm swapping four to two wheels. I've had a busy season this year. It's been great. But yeah, I'm going up to New Jersey and I'm doing the final two rounds of Moto America, which I love. JD's right in the middle of it. He's now doing super bikes and he's awesome. He's just great to watch.
Well, I can't wait. But, Jonathan, hopefully we got Takuma Sato calling in here any minute. In fact, I see the producer picking up the phone. So hopefully that's him. But man, what a race! This IndyCar
I think Price said he watched it, right?
Yeah, Price, did you watch it? I think we got Takuma Sato, we're going to go straight to him.
Well, he won't mind.
That's right. All right. Well, we're very excited to have our next guest on the phone. He's been on Speed City earlier this year when he won.
Alabama. Yeah.
And so, welcome back to the show, Takuma Sato.
Hey,
how are you?
Yes, very good. Great to speak to you again.
Well, congratulations on the win. That is so fantastic after what a crazy week you've had.
Yeah, what a roller coaster week.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Let's start with that. Obviously, nobody wants to be criticized. Nobody wants to be in a crash. We know you. Everybody knows and watched you race. It's not your style. You've been in this game so long now. You're not a rookie by any means. It's been interesting because the outpouring, both for and against the incident, has been probably quite inspiring to see how many fans and how much support you've got, because you said that last night.
Yes. It is obviously it's a very unfortunate thing. Like you said, nobody wants to happen for the incident like that. But obviously, it's happened. We should really all learn from that, and so do I. But the difficulty was that the first reaction, which has got only a few resources and not enough evidence, that the people reacted with the wrong information. Not really wrong. It was they didn't know the what was the truth of it. So that's why it just really aggravated quite badly. But later on, I was able to post my onboard footage to show what was the fact, mm-hmm. which I just basically drove straight on the letter to everyone was very close and all come together. But it was wrong that I didn't turn into the left or turn into the Alex. Obviously, I feel really sorry what happened. Especially for him, that you know, involving the championship point for the massively. But you know, the I don't know. We're traveling so fast, and unfortunately, that's happened. And then I just wanted to see the why world, that what was the fact, what was the truth. And then people have a different opinion. That's fine. But at least, mm. you know, I can't stand that I've been just causing the problem with it. It's just the only, you know, it's not the correct reason for it. And so let's put it this way.
Well, I want to move on to last night because
what a night.
What a night. And I want you to kind of lead us through because – you know, I was looking at really, you were kind of off the radar for a while. You were a full lap down, and I was watching Santino Ferrucci lead 100 laps. And then just, you know, it was kind of an amazing turn.
We'll go back to qualifying because, you know, the oil and so on and so forth.
Yeah. I mean, talk about that a little bit too, that the oil on the track and qualifying.
Yes, it was tough. Obviously, going to the reverse order from the championship. So, you know, the guy who had to go first, it's still like kind of, it's a little bit warmer temperature and track is a little green with oil on it. So that was a very tough condition. And so I'm sure, obviously, you know, Joseph drove like beautifully, you know, not that about we cannot beat his speed. However, he had a best condition too. So it's just one of things. But, you know, I had a relatively positive practice session at RSP8, I remember, if I correctly. And then compared to last year, it was just miles better. So our team did just a fantastic job in terms of bringing the car with a different philosophy of the setup. It worked really well. And then sort of just give me a confidence that, you know, how much you can commit to the qualify, which is very challenging because now, of course, IndyCar bumped up the boost, so we have more power and approximately 2 to 3 miles per hour faster arriving to the corner. But then, of course, intentionally a reduction of the downforce, you know, since introduced the universal yellow kit. So imagine that maybe used to be you can go flat, but now just no way. You know, you have to lift for the big time, and they're going to turn one. You can see the car just sliding and you can't have enough bite of it, but then you have to get on the throttle, of course. And then what was amazing was just the speed and sensation on the St. Louis gave us for the driver. It's just phenomenal. So I really enjoyed the two laps, and it put me on the fifth quickest. That was absolutely great, great team effort.
Well,
the race is incredible.
Yeah, that race, the everything that happened during that race, it was such a fantastic show, and I mean, we saw everything. And but talk about when you guys were when Carpenter was approaching you on that final lap, because I think the final gap was about a spark plug gap.
It was not far off.
That was nothing.
Yeah, it was like 4/100ths or something. Talk about that.
Virtually zero. Yeah, I mean, I thought Helion and I was quite close, you know, in the finishing and they're back in 2017, the 500. But Aidan and I, yeah, had almost like a finishing at the same time. No, I think it was just a great show. You know, it always has. I mean, the last plus 3 years, I think, you know, Gateway show us it just won an excitement event always. But last night was that case too. Yeah, like you said, yes, we had a difficulty for the first stint, and we had to pit it earlier, and that's really, I was already lap down. So you have to figure it out and how are you going to get back to the lap. And then that's the question. You know, I have to go to the longest stint to be able to have more opportunity to basically adjust your pit strategy in order to get the lap back. But of course, last night, we were racing not for the fuel, but the tires.
Yeah.
So fuel-wise, you can do the 60 laps, but then the tires was very difficult. After 20, 30 laps, you know, everybody starting to do some graining and also some of the grease start causing a huge vibration. So a lot of people, you know, actually having earlier pit stop all the time. So that is why when we were lap down, you have to tune the car for the consistency. Unfortunately, unfortunately, you know, we had a car to have capable with a go longer stint. So the crucially, the stint before the last, I went to the longest, and in fact, the last 10 laps I was the fastest on the field too. So that's why when I was back on the same leader lap, I think I was approximately P12 or P13. But I made it just a significant of the position, and then eventually I was lapping everyone else because I went to the longest where everyone already done a pit stop, and that gave me a P1, and then the yellow came. So the lap I was coming into the box, which is in pit lane, it just the yellow came. So you can imagine, I already have a emergency fuel lights under my dash, which means you have only one lap of the fuel. Under the green condition. Now, of course, you go to the yellows, you can arguing about maybe 3 or 4 laps is available, but certainly not the 5 or 6. So that's why you have to save as much as you can. And that we actually we get into the corrector tank for the fuel. So the fuel cell was absolutely empty. And then when I went to the pit lane, I was able to just refuel and back on the game. So that was just an amazing, amazing miracle happening. But also, you know, don't forget about the team did an amazing strategy as well as the car was capable of doing such a strong run for towards the end of the stint. That's really reading me for the final stint. It's a different picture of it.
Yeah, you know, and it's so good, Takuma, to hear your take on it, because it's great watching it on TV, but until you get that kind of, you know, until you actually get your take, you realize how long an evening and, like you say, how many people kind of play a part in that. And it just shows you that IndyCar has really got the whole recipe right now. Any one of you can win. I mean, look at the podium last night. Kanaan's up there telling AJ to get out of his recliner and come and see you. Letterman came down to Alabama and gave you a hug. It's great. I mean, you know, any one of you can win. I want to change tack though real quick. We've been talking on the show before you came on. We had the new F3 Americas champion on the show. Mm-hmm. And I'm just interested from your point of view. You have flown the flag for Japan literally at the highest level in both Formula One and in Indy now for many, many a year. I met you first when you were a teenager back at Macau all those years ago. But right. I'm just wondering, you know, when will we see, there are some really good young Japanese talent now coming through Super Formula and F3 in both Europe and in Japan. Do you know anybody that's coming up that we should know of? Because you've got your finger on the pulse. And I wonder if NTT now as a sponsor might see us get some more influence either driver-wise or possibly another race in Japan.
Oh yeah, I mean, we all love to, you know, we all love to see the next generation. It's always exciting. Now, of course, you know, I'm still driving, but you know, by all means, you know, I love to see the next generation coming, and then of course, is the generation change. Of course, all the time is happening. But before that, there is lots of young guns and the great up and coming drivers. It's in Japan. Unfortunately, with all the economics and all the things, it's very difficult for a young driver to come overseas and the race unless you have supported any scholarship or you have a signed with a contract with manufacturers. And that's unfortunately this is why the motor racing has got a difficulty with the financial support is absolutely essential. However, in Europe at the moment, the Nobu who is running in a Formula 2 doing really well.
Yes.
And Tsunoda, you know, is doing it a Formula 3 in Europe as well. I think he's really potentially great. And I think American Formula 3 and Formula 4 now is you know, launching a new cars and halos, and I think it's a new generation, is definitely a great boost. And don't forget, it's a Honda engine too.
I was about to say, that's actually what I made me think of, because Dickerson, who won the championship, went from F4 and got a $200,000 bonus, and that allowed him to race. I bet you would have loved that at Formula 3 in your day, but that's allowed him to go to Formula 3, and I wonder now if that it would encourage some young Honda drivers in Japan to come over to America, because they could get straight on the road to Indy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was the same boat too. You know, if I didn't get the scholarship from the Honda or Suzuka, you know, back in days, I wasn't to be able to competing in British Formula 3. So it's the same scenario. I think, you know, obviously the Mazda did a fantastic job, you know, road to Indy in the past. You know, going a lot of a scholarship and a lot of system, and unlike in Europe, in the States here, there's a guarantee scholarship. You know, I mean, it's not guaranteed for the full season, but you know, if you go to the from 2000 and the Indy Lights and winning a championship, you have a shot for the IndyCar. It's guaranteed. So you know, at least you know, young drivers be able to, if they show the performance and the result. There is the road is always open, and I think that is why for the next few seasons, you know, you should be able to see a lot of drivers, international drivers, coming to the Formula 3, Formula 4, and then I think Indy Lights, you know, we need more driver, of course, and because it's such a competitive series, we know that, and like, you know, Colton, you know, coming straight from the Indy Lights to the IndyCar, he showed a tremendous speed and low talent. So, you know, we all know that. Just we need to have ability to have a young driver to have opportunity to race in highest competition level.
Mm-hmm. Takuma, I know that you got to come to Austin. We were here in Austin. I always ask race drivers about, you know, this little track, Circuit of the Americas, landed in our lap. We didn't know it was coming. But what did you think about Circuit of the Americas when you came here to Austin?
Oh, that was just fantastic. I mean, the facility is for sure is one of the best in North America. And, you know, just the flowing to the corner after corner, it is just amazing. You know, if you watch a Formula One onboard, you know, you don't know which corner is coming. It's just so fast. But the in IndyCar as well, we pulled easily 4Gs in high-speed corners. Of course, we don't have luxury for DRS and the stuff like that. So obviously, lap time was you know, unarguably obviously different. But still, I think racing was just fantastic. And it's very technical, very challenging, and the fans really enjoyed and very enthusiastic too. So I think we all love to go to the Road America, of course.
There you go.
No, sorry, Road America. Yes, in Texas.
Yeah, Circuit of the Americas, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of my favorite things about this podium this weekend is that I was looking, I thought, wait a minute, Sato, you're 42. By the way, I'm older than all you guys, so I can make fun of you guys, but you were 42. You're 42. Kanaan's 44 and Carpenter's 30. The average age is 41 years old. That must be a record for an IndyCar podium.
Yeah, probably. Probably you're right. But it shouldn't be matter.
Exactly. Don't be ageist.
Ageist.
Yeah. Think,
you're only as old as, you know, your last performance.
I love it. That's what I'm saying. I'm older than all you guys. I love it. And I think it's fantastic. But, well, Takuma.
That's what's so good about Indy. You've got Santino. Yeah. We had Santino on last week. And, you know, I mean, this guy's a kid. And so is Colton. But here you are racing together. It's awesome.
Yeah, what do you think about all the? I'm gonna let you go after this, but one more question: what do you think about all these rookies this year?
Oh, it's just the raw talent of the rookie is just amazing. I mean, every single year we see that their level is just higher and then higher and then higher. And look at it this year, and Felix and the Marcus Ericssons and of course Colton as well, and all the driver is just ready to win, and that's just amazing. I mean, the Colton obviously won it already, but it's just amazing that you know it's a great teenager or low 20s competing as well as the 40s of us. You know, I think that is one of the beauty for the mud racing that. You know, the physical circumstances is definitely important. You know, Tony and I obviously are training really hard for the extensive training.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, the experience and racecraft and all the things, that is a matter. And this is a race, is it just a science? So, you know, you cannot go faster than what the car can do. So obviously for the engineering and the team spirit and all the strategy, I just all in all, I think it's what a great sport is and what racing is, because just as much as you can drive, and you have been competing at the highest level, you can still enjoy it. And then teenager and in the 40s, competing head-to-head, still we can win. So that's a fantastic idea.
I agree.
That's great. Well, look, another lesson for those teenagers is, last week, you had a rough week. You come back and win. That way, you can tell those kids, don't worry about it. Move on to the next week.
Exactly.
You never know what will happen. Takuma Sato, thank you for coming on Speed City again. We really appreciate it, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And as they say, Gambatte! And domo arigato.
Domo arigato.
All right. All right. Talk to you soon. All right.
I look, Gambatte, which is good luck.
In
Japanese.
I didn't get any of that, so thank you.
What a great guy. I love him. I've always appreciated his racing, and there's so many guys that could learn from his career.
Well, Price Cobb, you still with us there, buddy?
Yes, sir.
What do you think about Takuma Sato? Heck of a guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at his career, and he's battled a lot of things throughout. You know, I always wondered why people – so I raced in Japan for a while, and I always struggled with the knowledge of why aren't these guys the superstars in the rest of the world that they were in Japan? I mean, nobody could beat them in Japan. Mm. But then you see guys like Takuma, for whatever reason, change everyone's attitude, and I just love it.
What did you race in Japan?
I raced prototypes. You know, I raced in the All Japan Series, Porsches and stuff, and it was also my opportunity to sort of redeem myself after – trashing a factory Porsche at Le Mans one year on my second or third lap. I was very
that
proud.
Doesn't go down well with the Germans, does it?
No, they were very unmoving and unappreciative. And I was racing for Vern Schuppan. We were sponsored by that company called Omron, which makes all kinds of electronic things, particularly in the health area. But anyway, we were over there, and so the last race we did ever was the last race that Porsche did with their factory 962. So it was all Porsche, but it said Vern Schuppan and Omron on the side. So we would have won if we hadn't gotten a flat tire, but we came second in the World Championship event, so we felt great.
Does that come with a trophy when you trash a factory Porsche that crashed 911 on top of the trophy? And
if you change your tires with Price, he might just tell you a story too about the old flat tire he's had over the years.
Exactly.
All right, guys, we got to wrap it up. Price Cobb, thank you.
We'll see you Wednesday.
On. We'll see you on Wednesday, man.
Okay. Cheers, boys.
All right. All right. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Thanks to Takuma Sato and all the boys coming on. And make sure you follow us on social. Check out our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. Next week,
Dakota Dickerson. Watch out for him.
Yeah,
Benjamin
week,
Peterson.
We're back to Formula One. We're going to do our pre- and post-race. Check out our website to find out how to listen. Talk to you next week.